I'm Piers Corbyn, a physicist, theoretical physicist, astrophysicist, and also a long-term campaigner on people's rights, housing rights, and right now against the tyranny coming from the World Economic Forum and Zionism. And you asked, how did me and my family become so political? Well, I guess it's our parents, really. They met in Red Lion Square, the Conway Hall, for preparing to campaign for the Spanish Civil War against the Nazis. And
So look, this is somewhere. This is a sort of centre of trade union left wing Marxist politics in London, isn't it?
yes, it was. Yes, definitely so. And that was in 1937, 8, 9, when they met and got married. And after the war, produced myself and Jeremy were the first of the whole family, first two of the whole family born outside war. They were both born in the First World War, and my two elder brothers were born in the Second World War.
So who's elder, Jeremy or yourself?
Me. But I'm the more handsome one, as you
Are
know.
you allowed to say anything about what that was like growing up with him?
Yeah, if you want, yeah. Well, it was, we played around like children do, and got on pretty well, but sometimes didn't, like children do. I suppose I got on with the elder brother more because he was much more into science than Jeremy. That's later on. But as children, we fooled around together just like children do. And we had a great upbringing, I would say. It was really very, very good. We were in the countryside.
Can you say something about where you were and what left-wing politics was like in those days?
Well, where when I became political, I suppose, or both of us did, Jeremy and I, we were in Shropshire, in which is in Newport, Shropshire, in the West Midlands, and Jeremy got active in the Labour Party Young Socialist, and I joined in at the time. And then I would say that key issues would be, well, the latest war or something, and social spending and housing. I remember the Labour and Tories were both campaigning for council housing and trying to outpace each other on building council housing. But now, of course, they're outpacing each other on destroying council housing. So things have gone, if you want to use the words left and right, more right wing. But I don't use these terms because I think they're confusing and divisive. Since being youth, Jeremy, of course, campaigned a lot in the Labour Party, and I joined the International Marxist Group and did a lot of squatting activity and defeated the GLC at the barricades on October the 15th, 1975.
Well, hang on, you defeated the GLC because, as I remember it, the GLC was actually very left-wing. It was socialist, run by Ken Livingstone.
Yeah, no, this was before Ken Livingstone. This was 1975. The GLC then, which was under the Tories at that point, they gave in to, or was it Labour? No, but it switched anyway. It was Richard Balfe Labour who gave in to us. It was before Ken Livingstone. And he agreed to rehouse all 200 of us. Later on, Ken Livingstone, at short notice, agreed to rehouse the second occupation of the new properties that had been built in Elgin Avenue in 1981 or two, because they were still empty, despite the fact they'd said they were going to turn them over to council house use. But somebody was trying to sell them off, and Ken stepped in and stopped that,
Well,
basically.
this sort of thing still goes on today, of course,
Oh,
with
completely.
councils trying to sell off property,
What's
also landlords evicting people and then saying, well, we need the place immediately. And then 5 years later, you can go past and see how it's all still shuttered.
Exactly, yeah. No, it's monstrous and incompetent, and we want more direct democracy, monitoring what council housing departments get up to. When I was on the council, we certainly monitored them, and they didn't like that. And I was on the tenants' movement in Southwark for 20 years, where we chased them all the time. And we did get a lot of stuff sorted, a lot of empty properties used and so forth. Accountability is what we need in all local democracy.
I mean, ultimately, surely you lost this battle in London. London is becoming ever more gentrified and a very, very expensive place to live.
That's right. Well, those are world factors and lying by Labour councils, basically, which is where most of the council property is. For example, 1980, let's think, no, it would have been 19. I'm just thinking of a date. When I was Labour organiser, it would have been 2000, actually, or 97. That end of the 90s and into 2000. I was a Labour organiser, and they said they were going to demolish the Highgate Estate, which is by Elephant & Castle. And I said, well, okay, if you do that, you've got to promise to build the same number of council houses and give everyone the right to the turf. They said, yes, Piers, of course, Piers, we'll do that, Piers, right? Because I was the organiser, so it was important. However, they lied completely. They didn't build one single property in re to replace them, and they rehoused most of the people beyond the M25. And they said, oh, well, the developer said he couldn't cope with their demands. Well, okay, but then don't do the demolition, you know. But they see the developer lied and then changed his mind, whatever it is. It's appalling, it really is, and that is going on. And now they want to build up underground extension from the of the Bakerloo line to New Cross. Well, okay, people say, yeah, we need an extension, Piers. I said, look, they do this every tube stop between Elephant and New Cross will become a new redevelopment. It'll be another Elephant and Castle, and all the council housing will get trashed and chucked out. That's what will happen. But people, you know, think, oh no, it'll be all right. Because they're given undertakings. Look, when a Labour council gives undertakings, it's lies.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. London is starting to hot up, even though the BBC don't seem to like to cover it. There are all sorts of marches going on, lots of different movements, but the two biggest seem to be both around either left or right around the immigration issue. And so we've got Tommy Robinson and his friends in this so-called sort of flag-waving nationalist demonstration back in September 2025, and then this last weekend, another group also calling itself Together, and they are very much pro mass migration. They're very friendly with the Green Party, who don't believe in any borders, but they are good on Palestine. So it's almost as if, well, if you're pro-Israeli, pro-genocide, you can go along with the nationalists. But if you're pro-Palestinian, you've got to be it for open borders. Now, there are quite a lot of people, I know yourself included, Piers, who don't really see themselves as fitting into either camp. So can you just tell us about these big movements that are kicking off?
Certainly, I think that's very important. Just as a pre-thing for all this, on day one of the big campaigns against COVID and lockdowns on May the 16th, 2020, I remember people giving out leaflets saying, oh, the far right are going to be here. The British something or other movement is going to be here. They support you. I said, what's all this about? Because I didn't think of myself as a right or anything like that. But it was engineered from the start by the powers that be that we resisting lockdowns would be branded right wing, and those who are pro-lockdowns and pro-jab would be left wing. And they carried on with that narrative. Right, now,
Well, I'd say also, I mean, that certainly here in Bristol, when we had a big demonstration against the vaccines and against the lockdowns, that everyone there was being branded by the press as far right.
Exactly. That's right. As I was when I was a former Trotskyist standing in Speaker's Corner, being arrested by 40 police. You know, when I started, well, I talked about all this stuff. So it was branded right away across the country. It was a deliberate game, and of course that is carrying on. They want this left-right divide to confuse people and stop them thinking about issues. See, in the Labour Party, they love that because you just have to signpost people and they'll follow. You know, oh, I mean, Tony Benn warned us of this. He said the stupid or the unacceptable politicians follow signposts. The ones who are actually got something to say actually make signposts in a way. So anyway, yeah, looking at these movements, there's three togethers around now. First of all, we got the hashtag together, which was the origin of the, or originated through the Revolutionary Communist Party, and was the way the mega corporations introduced technocracy to this country. That's what they were putting forward. And technocracy, of course, is the basis behind DigiID and all those lockdowns. So I don't trust the Revolutionary Communist Party an inch, no, not even a millimeter. Second together around is the Labour Together, which seems just like a Blairist group, which is trying to promote Starmer and Blair and so forth. Now we've got this third one called Together Alliance, which claims to unite everybody against the far right. But you see, I said to some of these people involved, I mean, they weren't bad people. I just said, look, this doesn't say what you're actually talking about, you know. It's just an overall, because you look at the facts, you see, what does it mean? If you use the word racism, some people define racism as against foreigners, but some people, like Tommy Robinson, define racism as against the indigenous. So labeling people as far right doesn't help. Then other things which are labeled far right. I'm anti the climate con, i.e., don't believe in man-made climate change. So I'm branded by the BBC or others as far right. Well, there's no way I'm far right for believing an actual scientific narrative. I mean, that's insane, but that's what happens. And we have vaccine. I'm a dangerous far right anti-vaxxer. But look, people will come to realize we were absolutely right all along. And they'll listen to us in the end. As funnily enough, Disraeli said, when Disraeli turned up in Parliament, he made some speech and everybody laughed at him. And he said, you will listen in the end. And they did, of course, because he became Prime Minister. Anyway, carrying on with this demonstration that happened on Saturday, there was a lot of people there. The organisers said 500,000. The police said 50,000. Now, look, it's probably somewhere in between. But yes, it was pretty clear. It was a big demo.
Yeah, let's say at least. I mean, it was definitely several hundred thousand.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And a lot of it, of course, is inspired by people's anger at seeing the Tommy Robinson march
Of
in
course.
the autumn.
Yeah, that's right. So it's one march and then another anti-march. Well, okay, but do they clarify issues, either of them? Not really. They gather people together to be in a herd, really. Anyway, what me and others, our group, didn't go on the this big march at the start, but we decided after we'd gone on our anti-DigiID march, we would go to the end of this and make a little speech saying we are here to support Palestinians against Zionists, which are also funding what we know as the far right, namely Tommy Todd or Tommy Robinson, as they call him, GB News, Restore, Reform, and various brands of together, all or some of them. So actually, it's, you know, I think Zionists are funding both sides of this movement, which is a bad thing. So what is
Well,
your
of course, I mean, it's horrendous if you think that that's the case.
yeah.
But what about this sort of strange choice between you've got to either be pro nationalist and pro
Yeah.
Israel or
Yeah.
anti-nationalist and pro Palestine? I mean,
Yeah.
this seems to be the divide. And it's funny, isn't it?
It's
All
insane,
the
yeah.
uses of the word together were actually
Yeah.
people are just being divided. And
Yeah.
then again, on top of all of this, Piers, sorry to sort of pile
Perfectly.
on one
No, that's
question
very
on another,
good. I like what you're saying. It's just
is the Together Declaration people who are also pro-Zionist.
Yeah, absolutely. They are. The Together Declaration are the together ones I mentioned first in the list, hashtag together. Yes, I don't trust them an inch. They've betrayed everywhere they go, absolutely everywhere. They came on the anti-ULED stuff and said, oh, yeah, we're going to do this little rally in Trafalgar Square. I said, oh, okay. Can I speak, given the largest number of fines? Oh, no, you can't speak. You know, what they did was actually took people away from leafleting cars, standing around in Trafalgar Square listening to idiots talking nonsense. I mean, that's what they do. They will divide. They went along to the Labour conference, supporting farmers, they said, right? Okay. They met some farmers. And instead of having the farmers lobbying the delegates, who are very important people at these conferences, they took them up a side road and had a little rally in a lane. Well, that's insane. And then they came back, and some of them said, "Piers, we've just gone up a lane. We didn't want to be there. We wanted to be talking to delegates." I said, "Well, exactly. This is what the Together Declaration do. They do confuse, mislead, and divide. They are."
Yeah, led by this guy called Alan Miller.
That's
I
right.
mean, he's been constantly, well, every once in a while anyway, posting the pro-genocide stuff on his social media accounts
That's
and
right.
part of the Together Declaration. I mean, these people, it seems everybody, like you say, maybe everybody's being funded by pro-Zionists apart
Indeed.
from.
I mean,
Anyway, can you
does
say
he believe
something?
it? I don't know, but he it's probably part of his paycheck. You know, you've got to promote
Maybe.
this some
Look,
class.
can you say.
Tommy Todd brings Israeli flags on his marches. Now, what has an Israeli flag got to do with the rights of British people? I mean, it's insane.
This worries me when you've got funding for these sorts of movements. The one thing that's quite positive, I mean, it's strange the way, for example, George Galloway has sort of abandoned his own party, of which he's leader, and left, you know, which is, yeah, it is laughable, actually.
It is hiding somewhere. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, we've got Peter Ford, who's a great guy, sort of deputy leader or something, but
Well,
they
maybe he should
descend.
now take over since George. I think George always wanted to be a chat show host and not so much of a
Yeah.
politician, maybe.
Well,
But
Peter Ford would
I
just
mean,
join us.
the
He won all the
biggie, and
office.
these are the people who were there on Saturday, is
Yeah.
your party. But the branch is starting to grow around
Yeah.
the country.
Yeah.
Only thing is, there's quite a lot of disquiet about just how democratic this new party is going to be.
Yeah. Well, I suppose there is. I mean, they've had these faction fight, and Zaratul Tam has been defeated. But of course, whenever you have faction fights, you do get democracy being damaged because people go into maneuvers and cliques and so on. Because otherwise, if they didn't, the others might take over. You know, I mean, that is the way it is. But you know, I know my brother does actually believe in democracy, which has also got him into a lot of trouble, as you well know.
Yeah, but how can he lead a party that is so undemocratic? I mean, Phil Pope has done, he's a Bristol, was a Bristol anarchist a few years
Yeah,
ago, was
yeah.
on our show, and he explains there's an enormous amount of secrecy, lack of transparency that has
Yeah.
permeated the whole Your Party project for the beginning. There's pressure in favour of centralisation. There's the
Yeah.
failure of this CEC election process, which you were a
I was
victim of.
excluded from. So I was told I was a racist.
Maybe you could just give us a report back on that in a minute. And also the factional control of the officers group. All of these are serious failures, Phil says, that could have been avoided from the start if people insisted on democratic standards as a precondition of participating, rather than crossing their fingers and hoping that some democracy might emerge at the end, which it isn't in your party. It most definitely isn't. It's being controlled from the centre. But can you just bring us up to date with your situation, with yours trying to stand to be on the CEC, and explain what that stands for?
Definitely, yeah. I would say, to be fair, I would say my brother knows of these concerns, and obviously he's surrounded by certain people that have ways of doing things. But it's got to be addressed. I agree completely. And what happened on the CEC is a big highlight of this, because one of those committees observed that I'd been up to Epping, and therefore I must be far right. Now, it was Epping where some of these boat people were, and I wasn't there supporting expulsion of them or saying they should be here. I was talking to the women there who were seriously worried about the future of their daughters, and I warned them that they are being used by the Tommy Tards and others. And the Tommy Tards physically attacked me, pointed at my Palestine badge, and say, "You don't belong here, Corbyn." So there's no way I was there supporting them. But anyway, that then got used by one of these committees in your party, which I think was one of them run by Zara Sultana's cronies. And they said and reported that I was a far-right extremist and racist, and because I'd been to Epping. Well, and then I was excluded from one Hustings meeting, and then I was excluded from the general Hustings online meeting. And so in the middle of that, or at the start of that, got a note saying I was excluded completely from that meeting. And then I got a letter saying I'd been suspended from the party.
Well, hang on, because any party, even the Tories, will allow you to have a sort of a hearing, and they will
That's
hear
right.
the evidence. So, have they done that yet? When did
No,
this all take place?
that was, I was immediately got a letter saying that they would hear evidence after the CEC was established. So I'm waiting for that.
Well,
And
hang on, but that is totally undemocratic.
of course it
The
is.
idea is that you're standing, etc. You've got your signatures,
Yeah,
whatever that
absolutely.
you need.
Yeah.
There's about to be an election, and they suspend you before the election. They could have suspended you after the election, so that
Indeed.
to see whether you're actually going to make it on there or not, and then suspend you. But no.
It's completely undemocratic. I agree. Well, we have to sort that, and we will. Now, funnily enough, my ex-wife is the party treasurer, Marion Roberts, and she had to send me this letter telling me this, which was completely crazy. Now, look, I know she knows it's crazy, but she had to send it because this committee sent it. And, it will happen. There will be a hearing, but as you say, the consequence should be it should never have happened that way. And if they found that I'm not a racist and these claims are false, then logically they should run that London election again or do something. I don't know, but there has to be a redress. But I agree with you completely. It's undemocratic and not a good vibe.
Okay, so look, we've talked about these mass demonstrations going on in London, how each of them is fundamentally flawed. The flaws being, well, if you have to be sort of an internationalist, pro EU, maybe even pro World Economic Forum if you're going to attend the left wing version, and you have to be pro genocide if you're going to attend the right wing version. So, can you just give us an idea if there are any movements around which people can join which don't have these absolutely like poisonous policies as part of what they do?
Well, what we do, we were Let London Live, and now we go around London. We do numbers of demonstrations all the time on key issues. We go outside the BBC, and if you want to get in touch with us, go to at Piers underscore Corbyn or stopnewnormal.net. But it's probably easier to remember at Piers underscore Corbyn. That's my Twitter account. We go outside the BBC every Thursday between 1 and 2 and raise the latest issues of our time. And it's an open mic. Anyone can say anything. Even if they disagree with us totally, they can still speak and, we would reply. We ask the BBC to report these things, which they don't, but we ask, therefore, the alternative media to report, which they often do, and we get a lot of hits on the internet. Then after that, we usually find somewhere to go on a specific issue. And this Thursday, we're going to be going outside the Department of Net Zero, going on about their latest madness. And then at 4 o'clock on every Thursday, we go to Palantir, 20 Soho Square, which is the biggest privatized paramilitary research and delivery organization in the world. And they work for the USA military interventions, and they work in the NHS. So we're saying they've got to remove the NHS. So that's a thing you can do on Thursdays. Otherwise, we do organise or go in other demos, and we turn up at Speaker's Corner every Saturday, every Sunday, where
So,
make speeches of our time.
well, look, do you ever find hostility from when you turn up at another demonstration?
I do sometimes, yes. I've had completely insane ones. I went up to Epping one day, and was attacked by the Tommutards. I expected that, but that's no problem. But then I come back next day to a Palestine demo, and some self-appointed little Leninist policeman or something, I don't know, SWP member, I think, but I don't want to be libelous against anybody or other, whatever it is. He said, "Corbyn, we don't want you here." I said, "Why is that? Because surely you want people here." He said, "No, it's the sort of people you might bring along with you from Epping." And I just said, "Well, don't think they've come with me, but anybody coming would be good, wouldn't it?" And he didn't like that and he ran off. I mean, it was just insane. They weren't prepared to listen to what I was actually doing there.
Oh, well, this is exactly what happened when Al Jazeera turned up last week to the scene of these burning ambulances, and the local special constable turned up and told them to go away, that they're not wanted in this country, that they will be passing any information on to terrorist suspects, called them a dog, he called them a donkey. And so this is the sort of thing that, you say, maybe an SWP policeman, maybe there are quite a few of these
I don't mean an
individuals
actual
around.
prisoner, somebody who had
No,
acted
but
his powers or something.
the idea is really to just sort of scare people away in a rather childish fashion.
No, that would have upset people that might have been with me. In fact, it does upset people when that happens to me, that because they, expect something a bit more reasonable, especially when you're giving support to something,
Okay, finally, Piers, maybe you could say something about what you make of what's going on with Donald Trump and Iran, because this, I think, is it's almost as if we've got a kind of accelerationist president over there, who is doing this little trick that Elon Musk, Yuval Noah Harari, have dreamt up, which is called move fast and break things. Medvedev, the former president of Russia, has said Trump's foreign policy is basically just be a bull in a china shop, and it does look as if he's shut the Straits of Hormuz by this unprovoked attack. Other tankers of other nations are starting to come past and be allowed by, and now Trump is expecting everybody to weigh in, and he's getting very, very petulant. He's blaming really the Europeans and saying, well, it's okay, you can now come and get your oil from us. That's his latest this week. So what do you make of this war? Obviously it's illegal, obviously it's unprovoked.
Well, and what is Donald Trump doing? Look, see, Donald Trump was jumping around saying things that sounded progressive. He was upset about vaccines, upset about the climate con. I mean, that's good. But that was really just a ploy to get us on his side somehow and get us convinced with his program. All the time, I think Donald Trump was being prepared to be the great master of New World tyranny. However, and they've conned us into his framework. But most people now realize that is complete madness. He has gone over the top and crazy. I would say medically crazy, actually. And there's no way he's going to be leading the New World tyranny. I don't know who they've got. I think they've got a problem for that. But that's what he's at now. And you're right, he's going into more, everything like a bull in the china shop.
But look,
And
I hope you've got
that's
your electric
exactly.
car, Piers, because the oil prices are starting to go up and up. The garages are complaining because their little petrol pumps can't go over 1.99 a litre. That they're not even designed to go to 2 pounds
I
anything.
didn't know that. Okay. No
Well,
one.
that's the case, I'm afraid. And so, I mean, this is going to actually do a lot, isn't it, to help the electric car people, etc. And so maybe fossil fuels will just become not used so much because they're so expensive. Maybe that's part of the plan.
Oh, I think it is part of the plan. But all energy prices will go up. So they'll have to pay more for electricity because where's this electricity coming from? They're not mining coal. They're doing nothing at all in this country and they've got to import oil into power stations. So all fuel prices will go up. And electric cars are not the answer to anything because they explode and are have to be replaced at huge costs anyway. I think that's another. No way forward. But the bigger picture, of course, is that what Iran is doing by necessity is also disrupting totally the world economy and going towards a recession, which is what the New World Tyranny, World Economic Forum, and Zionists want. They want world wreckage in order to justify somehow a new world order. But I think Trump has screwed it up so much that that is difficult for them as well. Which, well, what can we say? Good, and we
I
say
mean, surely Trump has not screwed it up at all. He's done exactly what he's expected to
all
do,
to
which
do.
is to start to create chaos and economic downturn.
But he's no way he can be put forward as the leader of the world anymore, which is probably what he wanted. because people wouldn't accept it. They'd just say he's a madman. Hopefully, they won't accept anybody. But yeah, I agree with you. Trump has been probably led up the garden path himself, believing he's going to be emperor of the world. But in fact, he's just been the wrecker to prepare the way for
Well,
something.
you know, maybe feeding his ego. Anyway, where do you think this war is going to head?
Iran is winning and will win, and it will be the end of Israel. There'll be a new Middle East. Will it look like what we want? I don't know, because Trump is and his cronies are busy there thinking we're going to build more holiday towers on the dead bodies of Palestinians. And what do they want to do elsewhere? But Iran will win, so there will be a new thing, and Iran will have to be very firm and win. Because, see, an interesting thing is the gold has not shot up in price, which is what would expect to happen in a recession or beginning of a recession. It seems like the powers that be have already prepared for post-war, namely massive amounts of money spent on redevelopment. But they want a certain redevelopment without the Palestinians in Palestine. So, you know, there's a big fight still going on. When they talk about peace, it's not the sort of peace we want. We want the peace of Palestinians back in their homeland.
Yeah.
And so far as Israelis, well, I think the Israeli state has to end, but Jewish people have to live in a bigger, secular Palestine. And I think that is all possible. That is all possible because there's massive opposition in Israel to what Netanyahu is doing. There's no doubt
Now
about it.
look, what about back here at home? Because if you look at the oil price, it is still chugging up. You know, Trump, God knows what he's going to do next. The Netanyahu, is he going to destroy a refinery and try and pretend it was
Oh,
the
yeah.
Iranians doing it? There's
Sure, he
all
will.
sorts of this sort of thing going on. Indicative of all of this is just looking at the price of AVTUR, the jet fuel, which is used in the airliners. That's doubled. Now, when they start saying, "Oh well, you know, Rachel Reeves, our chancellor, says,
Come on.
I think we might have an extra 1% inflation." I mean, you have to laugh. I mean,
It's insane. It's
it
going to
could
be.
be in double figures, even treble
Absolutely.
figures
Of course, it
inflation,
could be.
and for food, etc. So, what do you know? Is were the preppers right? Are we going to start running out of these things, and people just not going to be able to afford to eat? You know, soon.
I think so. There'll be fuel rationing of various sorts, and in Egypt and some other countries, they've already told all shops to close at 9 p.m. And that'll and probably they'll mean people can't drive around after 9 p.m. I mean, that'll mean more people speeding before 9 p.m. and all that stuff, but there will be restrictions. A bit like the 3-day week under Edward Heath in 1974 or so, I remember it. And that was all a energy shortage, miners' strike type of thing as well. So that's where it will go. Food prices, yeah, that is interesting because the farmers are very alarmed. We've had a demonstration outside the Department of Net Zero already, and we're going there tomorrow. I mean, this Thursday again. I said, and that is about the price of red diesel. I said, look, that's going to go up, guys. And the farmer said, yeah, and that'll put up the price of all food straight away.
Well, these things have not been factored in at the Treasury. Anyway, look, fascinating to chat to you. Can you just
You
round
too.
off what by explaining to people where they can find and follow you, Piers?
Yes, please come to my Twitter account or X is called now at Piers_Corbyn. Everything will be on there, and we put, pin things which are the most important of them.
And where, what about, say, if people are interested in a sort of weekly diary about what's going on in London?
We do that there as well. We have a schedule, an event schedule, which we put up there and put that near the top of the at Piers_Corbyn X site. And I've also got a Telegram site, which is Piers Corbyn. And I do appear on various things, obviously WhatsApp and so forth. But
On
go
the
for it.
B, are you
Twitter
on
is
the
up.
BBC these days?
No, I've been completely banned. Even though I've got plenty of things to say about the issues of our time, namely, well, what's happening in Iran, but of course the climate con. But they do not want me there whatsoever.
Well, because the science is settled, dear boy.
Oh, the science is settled, yes. Well, science is never settled, but some things are proven true and not. And I know what's proved true and what is the pack of lies. And they are propagating a fake narrative.
Okay, Piers Corbyn,
Yes.
Merry Easter to you, and thanks very much for
Merry
joining.
Easter and resist, defy, do not comply. Thank you.